The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 9th through Sunday, June 15th, 2025. The commentary for June was written by Sarah Shipman, an Episcopal priest, attorney, and director of Episcopal Migration Ministries. She lives with her husband, two kids, two dogs, and a cat in Kansas. She collects hobbies and loves to read. The commentary for Monday, June 9th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 34. But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. It is easy to criticize the disciples for their lack of understanding. I mean, they were in the physical presence of Jesus, the great teacher. How could they not understand? But we all know that sometimes true understanding only comes from experience. Living in Kansas, I am no stranger to severe storms. When a tornado warning is issued, people are advised to seek shelter immediately because of the potential for imminent damage to life and property. But when I was young, I wanted to stand outside and watch for the storm, regardless of the warning. I learned to listen to the sirens, especially after a tornado struck my hometown in 1991. The destruction was unbelievable. Since then, whenever I hear a siren, I immediately pack up everyone and head to the basement. Hearing the warnings and even seeing the footage on TV in no way prepared me for what was to come. Like the disciples, I had to experience the horror and devastation to understand the warnings. And now I'm going to read from the full Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people. When they saw it, praised God. And the moving forward statement for this Monday, June 9th, pray for understanding. The commentary for Tuesday, June 10th, begins with the Old Testament, Psalm 62, verse 1. For God alone my soul in silence waits. From Him comes my salvation. One of the most helpful discoveries I made during seminary was the practice of breath prayer. This ancient form of prayer, which can be traced back to the desert fathers and mothers in the 3rd century, can be used to calm the mind and the body in times of chaos or anxiety. This simple practice involves reciting a piece of scripture, taking a deep breath through the nose, holding for a beat or two, and then exhaling while reciting the rest of the scripture. This breath prayer helps me calm down and provides a valuable transition from one period of a day to another. I often sit in my car for a few moments in the parking lot when I arrive at work, and in my driveway at the end of the day, offering prayer and centering myself for what is to come. The Psalms are particularly suited to breath prayer and provide both a pause and an opportunity to pray unceasingly amid our hectic lives. And now I'm going to read the full Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assail a person? Will you batter your victim, all of you, as you would a leaning wall, a tottering fence? Their only plan is to bring down a person of prominence. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge, is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to You, O Lord, for You repay to all according to their work. The moving forward question for this day, try practicing breath prayer each day of this week. Is it a helpful spiritual practice for you? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, June 11th, the day on which we commemorate St. Barnabas. Here's the commentary. I love giving gifts. One of my great joys is finding the perfect present for someone and seeing their eyes light up when they open a gift that shows I have paid attention and really know them. But no matter where I shop or what I find, I can never match the gifts of compassion, forgiveness, love, and reconciliation I have received from God. And as Jesus reminds the disciples and us, we are responsible for sharing those gifts freely with the world, offering ourselves in service to others. I always find that the gifts of time and service to my friends, family, and the community are far more valuable than what I can buy and wrap. These gifts might be making meals for those who have none, praying with a hurting friend, or sharing a smile and genuine thankfulness with a harried cashier. Sharing the joy of Christ's love and forgiveness with all is the best gift I can offer in our hurting world and a step toward bringing the kingdom of heaven nearer. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 7 through 16. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, June 11th, what gifts of God's compassion and love can you offer to others on this day? The commentary for Thursday, June 12th, begins with a passage from Psalm 74, verse 1. O God, why have you utterly cast us off? Why is your wrath so hot against the sheep of your pasture? Psalm 74 is known as a community lament. The psalmist decries the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and asks God to restore the holy city, thereby reestablishing God's rule and blessing over the people. Laments like these are sometimes hard for us to read and pray. When we encounter passages like Psalm 74 that are filled with such deep emotions, we're uncomfortable. As poet Kalen Harkin has pointed out, we don't know how to deal with it, so we're tempted to soften the prayers, taking out the tears, cries, questions, and anger. Yet in these psalms, we learn that people have cried out to God in fear and frustration from the earliest days, venting their deepest longings with little restraint. I am comforted that Scripture provides examples of lament, teaching us that this is a form of prayer that can be acceptable to God. And now I'm going to read the full passage of Psalm 74. O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation which you acquired long ago? Which of you redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage? Remember Mount Zion, where you came to dwell. Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. Your foes have roared within your holy place. They set up their emblems there. At the upper entrance, they hacked the wooden trellis with axes. And then with hatchets and hammers, they smashed all its carved work. They set your sanctuary on fire. They desecrated the dwelling place of your name, bringing it to the ground. They said to themselves, "We will utterly subdue them." They burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our emblems. There is no longer any prophet, and there is no one among us who knows how long. How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Why do you hold back your hand? Why do you keep your hand in your bosom? Yet God my King is from of old, working salvation in the earth. You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the dragons in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You cut openings for springs and torrents. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day, yours is also the night. You established the luminaries and the sun. You have fixed all the bounds of the earth. You made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs, and an impious people reviles your name. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild animals. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for your covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the haunts of violence. Do not let the downtrodden be put to shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Rise up, O God, plead your cause. Remember how the impious scoff at you all day long. Do not forget the clamor of your foes, the uproar of your adversaries that goes up continually. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, do the laments make you uncomfortable, or do they help you to see another way to talk with God? The commentary for Friday, June 13th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 47b to 48. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard. I love imagining the scene of Jesus in the temple, turning over tables and driving out those taking advantage of pilgrims seeking forgiveness. It is easy to understand why Jesus lashes out at those he believes are defiling his Father's house. But it is important to read beyond the table-turning drama to the heart of the passage. The people are spellbound by Jesus' teaching. While they might have originally drawn by the spectacle, Jesus' words, his teachings of love and acceptance, keep them coming back every day to hear more. I am privileged to be a part of a non-traditional coffee shop church plant in my community. Time and time again, we see people come into the space for coffee and find love, radical acceptance, and belonging in the words and work of Christ. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 48. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." Then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. And he said, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what spaces do you offer for people to discover Christ's spellbinding teachings? The commentary for Saturday, June 14th, begins with a passage from the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5a. examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Paul's words can often be harsh, and yet taking time to examine our daily lives can help ground us in the love of God and return us to lives of faith. Several years ago, I felt unfulfilled in my job. It was a good job that needed to be done, important work for our community, involving contracts, purchasing, and general government administration, but I struggled to see how it mattered. My volunteer work for an organization dedicated to combating human trafficking in our city prompted me to look for new ways to serve others. I knew I needed to find ways to incorporate faith more deeply into my work. So following Paul's advice, I tested myself, looking for ways I could find and follow Jesus in my daily work. I approached decisions from the posture of a follower of Jesus, seeking to serve others. In doing so, I found that I could live in faith and serve others in ways I never imagined. And now I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 14. This is the third time I am coming to you. Any charge must be sustained by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warned those who sinned previously and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not be lenient, since you desire proof that Christ is speaking in me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful in you, for he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. Examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed, but we pray to God that you may not do anything wrong, not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. This is what we pray for, that you may become perfect. So I write these things while I am away from you, so that when I come, I may not have to be severe in using the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And the moving forward question for today, examine your life and answer the question, how does it reflect your faith? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of the week, let's turn to Sunday, June 15th, Trinity Sunday. It begins with a passage from Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Today, we often think of wisdom in terms of insight, discernment, or teachings. In ancient Israel, wisdom was understood as pursuing understanding and preserving order in the world. In this passage from Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman. She explains that she has been in and of creation since the very beginning. She was brought forth in creation, along with the order of the formless void, in the separating of land and sea and shaping of the mountains. Wisdom has been a constant companion, delighting in creation. To this day, we crave order and understanding of our world. We constantly ask why and how. We seek deeper knowledge, but like wisdom, We would do well to be reminded of the beauty and blessing of wonder and imagination, of the joy that comes in waiting for the Spirit to guide us to the truth. May we, like wisdom, adore all of God's marvelous deeds and be ever mindful that we are a part of creation and charged with its care. And now I'm going to read from Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 31. The Lord created me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth. When He had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside Him like a master worker, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world and delighting in the human race. The moving forward statement and question for this day is to reread this passage from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31, and then ask yourself, what other lessons does wisdom offer? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank You for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with You and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that You are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.